No, no, no.
Father, we love you today. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. Thank you, dear Lord, for the ground we have tonight. Pray that you bless this food to our bodies to your service. Lord, help us when it's time to share the word, to finish the sermon. I pray, Lord, that you would use me even then. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Right here, I've got it.
Yeah, now?
I'm going to get it.
Is that what it is? You got two plays going.
One race and one race.
PJ.
You got two plays.
Pull the shirts up, buddy.
Some people have more. That's okay. That's all right.
We got a thing, just that, she got something.
I know you are. I just like to make things. We'll do that about 5 minutes. Well, you know, there you go. I wouldn't pick on you.
That's quality. You said that over here.
Jerry, the cat, the mouse, and Let me read that again as we get started. Tom and Jerry always fought. Tom was always after Jerry. At times, Jerry would provoke Tom on purpose. He loved to see him angry. He would light his tail on fire, then run off into his little mouse house. If things were calm and Tom had opportunity, he would take a shot at Jerry, chasing him through the house with a gigantic hammer and destroying everything in his path. It was almost like they weren't content unless they were fighting. Anybody here ever watched Tom and Jerry growing up? I'm sure the majority. And the whole show was about a fight. And I asked a question this morning. We had any Tom and Jerry in the crowd. And those who love to provoke one another to anger, I hope we don't. I'm sure we don't have any Tom and Jerry's in the crowd tonight either. But nonetheless, we began talking about spiritual anger management. And spiritual anger management is dealing with anger in a spiritual and biblical way. And you know, the truth of the matter is tonight, we're going to get angry at times. And we may express bad anger at times. I know I have. The challenge is expressing good anger. Good anger. Ephesians chapter number 4. Of course, just listen. I don't want you to get pizza sauce on your Bible. And Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 26. The writer says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Then we're going to read another verse, verse 27. "Neither give place to the devil." So we actually see tonight that in this verse, verse 26 at least, that the Lord wants us to get angry. There's a good kind of anger. We talked about that this morning. We said that there is a disciplined anger. A disciplined anger. This is anger under control. This is a righteous anger. This is a good and useful kind of anger. He says, "Be ye angry and sin not." And so if God wants us to get angry in a good way, what are some things we should get angry about? And we mentioned some. And again, I'm not going to re-preach all of this. But we should get angry at the devil. We should get angry at sin. We should get angry at the direction of our country. We should be angry at our own Christian lives if we're not progressing. If we're not progressing, we should be angry. Now, this anger is to be transformed into something positive. Moving forward, doing something about something. Not just balled up and just, you know, angry, even in a good way. We're to do something about it. Psalm 7, verse 11 says that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is holy, therefore He hates sin, and we know that. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. God's holy, so therefore He is angry with wicked deeds. He is angry with sin. He is angry with the wicked every day. And of course, we read the verse out of Mark 3, 5, when Jesus was getting ready to tell the man with the withered hand to stretch forth thine hand. He had a hand that was withered. It was drawn up. Had no moisture. Had no flexibility. And the Pharisees rose up against Jesus and tried to hold him to the law of Moses and said, "Hold on now, it's Sunday. And we're in the synagogue. No healing." So Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus looked round about them with anger. Can you imagine what Jesus looked like when he was angry? Can you imagine? Well, this morning we talked about that there is a disciplined anger. And then we went on to mention that there's also a destructive anger. A destructive anger. And this is the anger that's out of control. It's sinful, harmful. This anger causes a person to hate others, to seek revenge, to think bad, hold grudges, speak evil of, cause physical harm, and just become bitter. So this is a destructive anger. Of course, the Lord wants us to shy away from this kind of anger. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And we know that a city that is destroyed is not useful. It's not an operating manner. A broken city cannot operate because it's broken. Every person in every place has been touched by the destruction of that city. So there's no walls in this city, meaning that the enemy can get into that city very easily because there's no walls. So we liken this to the person that has destructive anger, has a short temper, always flying off the handle. You got to be careful with that because you just never know how far it will go. We mentioned this morning the show Snapped on one of the court program TV stations, and it's stories about all of these people who, at one moment of a notice, the right set of circumstances, something happened and they snapped and they committed murder, and now they're in prison for the rest of their life. And I'm still convinced that the jails and prisons still hold a lot of good people, but they were just caught up in a bad moment in place and time, and they snapped. So, when we look at this verse, Proverbs 25:28, we see that we must have control over our own spirits. We must condition ourselves. We must place ourselves in safety zones so that we don't lash out or act out of the flesh doing something that we'll be regretful for. Many of people have reacted out of emotion and bad anger and have paid everlasting consequences. We mentioned how Cain murdered Abel. Out of jealousy, how that Moses committed murder, and then he hid the body. Then, of course, we just mentioned it, but we'll say it again, that good people have made bad choices and are serving life sentences. Destructive anger is a very, very bad thing. So we always got to be careful to deal with our anger the right way. And then we concluded this morning with the dealings with anger. How are we to deal with our anger? We mentioned three words: the word forecast, the word fortify, and the word fight. And the first word, forecast, that just simply means we're to discern any given situation. If you're in a situation and, I don't know, maybe you're at the job and someone is saying something that is offensive to you, and you got a workload on you already, and you feel yourself burning on the inside, getting ready to snap on somebody, you got to see that coming. You got to be able to tell the forecast and discern your situation. But then we said fortify. And that's over in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Bible says this: but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So verse number 8 says put off. The words put off mean to lay aside. And so this requires deliberate action. If we know that we're getting ready to express anger in a very destructive way, we need to lay that aside. We need to put it off. We need to be able to tell the forecast and not even put ourselves in that situation, so we have to put it off at the last moment. And so there's the word fortify. He says, but now ye also put off all these. And we're able, those of us that are saved, and of course based upon your testimony, everybody here is saved, pretty much. Because you know Jesus, you have that ability to put off anger. Because of your position with Christ, meaning that you have died to yourself. The old man has been crucified with the affections and the lust. You've been risen to walk in newness of life. You have resurrection power to say no to bad anger or put it off and anything else. And then that last word is fight. And that's over in 1 Peter, and that's where we're going to finish tonight in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. He says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise. All right? So he's telling us we're to counter our anger the right way. He said, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. We know that the word blessing, it means fine speaking. It's a challenge tonight when someone speaks evil of you to speak well of them in trust in them.
Yes, sir.
That's a challenge. I'm telling you, it's a challenge. But at the end of the day, I have resurrecting power to do that. I have the ability by the power of the Holy Ghost to speak well of them. And really what this is doing is when someone speaks evil of you or someone is slandering you or someone is being deliberately mean to you or whatnot, this is an opportunity to not render, as the Bible says, evil for evil, but contrarywise, blessing. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to use you to bless them while they're speaking evil of you. Now, what that does is it filters out anger out of us. This is the only way to solve this problem of anger. It's going to hurt. Like I said this morning, it's going to hurt at some point dealing with anger. And I'd much rather deal with anger saying blessings to someone than expressing the flesh and ending up in prison the rest of my life. It's a much better payoff just to say, God bless you, have a good day. That's a much better payoff. The word in verse number 9, railing, of course we said this morning, the word railing means to slander or to speak ill of. And again, he's talking about someone being evil towards us, someone being slanderous towards us, and he's teaching us, the Bible is, through Peter, how to deal with anger. All right, and so that's the word fight. The word to fight, we are to counter this anger, this bad anger, with doing the right thing. So the word fight, fortify, forecast. And then tonight, there's the fourth point, and this is where we'll conclude. Not only the dealings with anger, but I want us to look at the description of the deliverer. The description. Now, Peter continues his thought here. Verse number 9 talks about not rendering evil for evil, but contrarywise blessing. Verse 10 says this, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want to mention some things on this last point, the description of the deliverer. These are some things mentioned out of verse number 10, 11, and 12 that follow a person who has given anger over to God in any given situation and allowing God to work through them in a much better way. Listen to this. Verse number 10, one of the descriptions of the delivered from anger, they will have an enjoyable life. Have you ever met an angry person that enjoyed life? I haven't. They're always on edge. They're always angry. They always got the short end of the stick. They feel entitled to things that haven't came their way yet. But notice what he says in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, and here it is, Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. So he's going back to the circumstance where someone is being slanderous, someone is speaking evil of you, someone is setting you up for a fall, and you want to speak evil back, you want to defend yourself, but you're choosing blessing over cursing. And he says, when you do that, you choose God's way, you choose to be a blessing over a curse to that person, you choose not to take a vengeance for yourself, that you'll be a person that will be able to enjoy life. Again, there's not a whole lot of angry people enjoying life tonight. But I'll tell you who is enjoying life. The meek are enjoying life. The peaceful are enjoying life. Those are enjoying life. Those kind of people who are operating out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now, we can go ahead and say to that person how we feel if we want to. We can let them have a piece of our mind. We can put them in their place and set them straight. And we can benefit the gratification of the flesh from that. But you're still not going to be able to enjoy the rest of your day, week, month, year. You just cannot, as a child of God, operate that way and enjoy life. So he tells us again to take the high road. He says that if we want to enjoy life, we have to be delivered from anger. And again, delivered from anger is moment by moment, day by day, week by week, and year by year. So the description of the delivered has to do with an enjoyable life. But then, verse number 11, he says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Another description of the delivered, something that follows someone who's been delivered from anger, is someone that will shun evil. Someone that will shun evil. Now, of course, the word eschew there, it means to shun. And the person who is trying to operate out of love, the person who's trying to operate out of the Spirit and do what's right, not trying to render evil for evil or railing for railing, but trying to render blessing for cursing, said this person will shun evil. They want to stay away from trouble. They want to stay away from troublemakers as well. Because they're forecasting their life. They have some experience dealing with things. Maybe they've blown their cool a time or two, but they're not. Well, they're cool again, and so therefore they shun evil. The appearance of evil. Fellowship of evil. This is one of the things that follows someone who is dealing with anger the very best way. They will stay clear of that person. It always sets them off if you can stay clear. Now, if you work with a person, you go to school with a person, God forbid, married to a person, and they're always angry, something has to change. There has to be a change. And so if you're in those situations where you can't escape, you're there. Why? Peter goes on and he deals with that in the remaining part of this chapter. Verse 17, he says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. There's times where God will allow you to be joined with a very boisterous, egotistical, free-thinking, free-spirited person that will speak their mind to you all the time and not feel bad about it. God just might. He does at times to couple you with them, and it's a time of suffering for you. But the Bible says that there's times where the will of God is just exactly that, because He is putting you on display to show how you're to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. So verse number 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, or pursue it. And so we see that shunning evil is a description, is something that follows someone who has dealt with anger the right way. They don't want to be around evil. They want to be peacemakers. It says, and do good and let him seek peace. The Bible says, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. It talks about many of those characteristics. Blessed are they who mourn. And it goes on and on and on. And so it has to do with a lowly state. It has to do with being humble and meek and taking the high road. And when we do that, others around us see how we're to operate. There's a third thing that follows the delivered from anger. And that is in verse number 12. Those who've been delivered from anger are blessed by God. Listen to verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Praise the Lord for that. Whether we express bad anger or not, God is focusing on us. Whether we do good or not, those of us that are saved, whether we do good or not, His eyes are on us at all times. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. We're righteous because Jesus is in us. And then it says, and His ears are open unto their prayers. His ears are open unto us tonight. Now, we're not going to get off into our personal relationships with the Lord, and if we are harboring, or if we have habitual sin and things like that, how that God will turn it. He'll hear your prayer, but he won't act on it. But tonight what we're looking at is a general statement, a promise for the believer that His ears are always open to us. His eyes are always on us. And so you can see how it starts to change when you're in that position and you want to blow up and you want to get angry. If you just stop a minute and think, listen, God sees me. He sees me in this workplace and what this person is doing to me and challenging me daily. He sees me. He hears me. So maybe I ought to just let the Lord deal with it. And so He says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. Listen to this. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. How about that? Tonight, when we decide to deal with anger the right way, we are followed by the blessings of God. Meaning, let us not take vengeance out on someone who's done us wrong. Let's let the Lord do what He's going to do to them. Let's let the Lord deal with that situation. Because the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So if God is watching us, if God is hearing us, and He sees everything that's happening, and we are dealing with anger, let us tonight surrender that to the one who sees it happening. Let us tonight surrender to the Lord who sees it happening, who hears our prayers, because the Bible says His face, the face of the Lord, is against them that do evil. Now, I want the smiling face of God against me. I don't want the face of the Lord against me because I'm doing evil. I don't want to see that side of the Lord's face. If you look at Revelation, some of the churches, it starts off by talking about a position the Lord's in. In some cases, He's walking in the church. Other times, His eyes are His fire in the church. So God sees what's happening. And tonight, it would benefit all of us to allow the Lord to take care of those that are doing us evil. He said, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I do not want the Lord against me. I'm His child. He's not going to be against me in that aspect anymore. But I don't want to be chastened of the Lord either. So tonight we see the description of the delivered. Those that deal with anger the right way are blessed by God. We are acknowledging that He's with us and He'll take care of us. Those that are delivered from anger are people who shun evil. They don't want no trouble. Those that are delivered from anger are those who enjoy life. They're the peacemakers. They're the ones who pursue peace. They're the ones who are meek. They're the ones who want unity and harmony. So we see tonight our last point, the description of the delivered. Romans 12 and verse number 19 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
How about that?
Either we believe it or not. Do you want to pay for it, or do you want the Lord to pay for it? Do you want to deal with it, or do you want the Lord to deal with it? He said, I will repay. In conclusion, let us all remind ourselves that God can use every circumstance, every situation, every defeat, the times that we express anger, and how to go back and say, I'm sorry for acting that way. God can even use that as a stepping stone to get us to a place of maturity where we will forecast circumstances and shy away from them so that we don't act out of a destructive kind of anger. Let us remind ourselves of that. God can use everything for His purpose. He can use these things as stepping stones in life. Well, today, that is part one and two of our spiritual anger management class. Y'all did great. Everybody gets a token. All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for just a sweet time tonight where your word, Lord, is flowing easily. And God, there's nothing left in my heart. Everything's been delivered. Father, I just pray that, you know, maybe this message is for something down the road or this week. I hope not. I hope that we're not in a situation where we could be angry and blow everything. The truth is, we could be. It happens all the time. Just help us, Lord, to yield ourselves to you and to know, Lord, that we want you to deal with our circumstances. You see us, you hear us, your face is against them that are against us. God, you know I have one or two that I deal with in my life no one knows about. They try to be unkind and they try to say hurtful things, but God, your face is against them, and that's all I need to know. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, hope y'all enjoyed the food. I'm going to eat.
Has everybody signed the birthday card for Miss Barbara?